Welcome back to the Fury Electric Studios, home of The Zone on the Buzz Radio Network. Listen to your favorite radio station, the Buzz iPhone app, or online at 1037thebuzz.com.
Welcome back on The Zone. Right after 10:30 in the morning here on 103.7 The Buzz, Phil Elson along with the Pigskin Preacher, joined by Matty T, who's driving the car. Happy to have you with us. And joining us on the hotline is C.J. Moore, who's the lead basketball writer, lead college basketball writer at BleacherReport.com. C.J., thanks for joining us. How's it going today?
Going well. How are you guys doing?
We are fantastic. A little gray outside. And no Razorback football game this weekend, so people talking a little basketball, a little baseball today. And I want to start with you, CJ, about the Champions Classic on Tuesday. I originally said it was Wednesday. Tuesday. It seems that college basketball really going to these humongous events, trying to, in a way, almost outdo college football, which is very event-based, but you've got teams playing on giant ships in the sea, on launching platforms, and now you've got maybe the four greatest programs meeting in the middle of the country in a very memorable one-night event. It was a lot of fun to watch. I'm sure you enjoyed it, too.
Yeah, it was a blast, and to have kind of the kickoff to the college basketball season, I can't imagine any better way to do it. And I think one reason they do these events is some teams are a little hesitant to go on the road to a big school like Kansas or Kentucky and do a home-and-home. But these neutral court events, I think they're more willing to participate in, a little more fair. So it's a lot of fun.
Was it a surprise to you to see Kentucky come out of the gate so slowly in that game? I mean, in the first 5-6 minutes, outscored 10-0?
Yeah, right off the bat.
I don't think a lot of people were surprised, but then they really show what they've got in the second half coming back.
Yeah, I mean, when a team is so young, I think, and it's their first game on a big stage, I think you're going to expect them to at least start a little slow, maybe not as slow as they started. That was a surprise. But you saw eventually that their talent is for real. And, Julius Randle has 8 turnovers in that game. Struggle early on. He was confused by Michigan State's defense, but you saw how good he can be. And then again, he has 8 turnovers. They still almost win.
And they missed all those free throws. They make half their free throws. They win going away. So,
yes, that's always Kyle Perry's thing, it seems like. I guess he just can't coach free throws.
Well, and I guess that, I mean, with Kentucky, and it's different with that program than most others because so often now you get these one-and-dones and sometimes it's an entire class. It seems that it can be very difficult to build not camaraderie but cohesiveness over the course of the first couple of months, and then you're just starting to round into form perhaps when you get into conference play. But I guess early in the season, Calipari even sounds like he expects a bumpy road at the start of each year right now.
Yeah, I think he does, but at the same time, what Calipari does, I think, as well as anybody in the country, is getting a group that is talented to play together and to play hard for him. And he'll have those guys, in form in a month or two, and they're going to be really, really tough. You saw how tough they are already to beat, because Michigan State played a great game. And Michigan State's very experienced, very talented, and Kentucky almost won. So you're going to see here in a couple months that they're going to be really, really tough to beat.
One thing's for certain about Calipari, if he's having trouble communicating to them or getting to play together, he'll let us know about it. He's not shy.
Would you say that there's anybody in the SEC that's going to push Kentucky at all?
I think Florida will when they get some of those guys back. I think they're struggling right now without Scotty Wilbekin. And if they get Chris Walker eligible eventually, they're going to have the talent to run with Kentucky, and Billy Donovan's a great coach, and I think they'll be able to push him.
I just wasn't that impressed with Florida. I'm a Michigan fan, and Michigan just destroyed them in the tournament last year. I mean, that looked like a scrimmage, and I thought Florida had a little more than that. Did they bring in some people that are going to help them this season?
Yeah, they've got a point guard that's a freshman point guard coming in who's really good, and I'm spacing right now on his name. And then Chris Walker, a big kid who's not going to be eligible until December if he does get eligible. He's not even enrolled yet, but he's supposed to enroll in December because he didn't get his classwork, you know, all finished or whatever. And he's a really, really talented big kid. And so talent wise, they're better this year. They also got transferring from Rutgers. They got a couple other transfers inside. Dorian Finney-Smith, who hasn't played yet, transferred from Virginia Tech. So they've got the talent. I think they're a little bit better talent wise. And then, you know, defensively they were great last year, and I think they can carry it over to this year.
If you had to pick a couple of other teams in the SEC that are dark horses to make the tournament, who would they be? Maybe Mississippi and somebody else?
I have concerns about Ole Miss just because of those kids that graduated. I don't know that Marshall Henderson can do it all on his own. He had some pretty good help last year. I like Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I know they've lost already, but I really like their talent, and I think they can do some things this year. And if they can get decent point guard play, they've got some big boys inside that are pretty good. Other than that, I think you know, LSU is a team that has talent. Who knows if it'll come together? I know they've lost already, but their freshman stud was hurt for a good part of that game. So those are some teams with talent to compete. And then the Missouri's maybe might be able to get it together. They've got a good transfer in, who's a good guard. So I think those couple teams. I think the SEC is better this year. I think they're a little deeper than they were last year. And then, you know, Arkansas has some talent. You just never know how Mike Anderson's system will come together. I think you got to wait a couple months to see when he gets to coach those kids. They're so young, how his defense comes together.
C.J. Moore is the lead college basketball writer at BleacherReport.com. Right now he's got a piece on Bleacher Report about perhaps a great big man that'll be announcing his choice for college today. I think Jahlil Okafor picking between either Duke, Kansas, or Baylor, according to your report. I want to stay in the SEC for a moment, and about the Razorbacks, CJ. You know, fans this year, it's the fourth year for Coach Anderson, and they expect to be in the NCAA tournament at the end of the season. There are a lot of folks that say that they will be extremely disappointed if there's not just a postseason berth, but an NCAA berth. And I've heard a lot of people this year think that the SEC could even be down to possibly two or three berths in the NCAA tournament. It might be a surprise that Arkansas would end up as one of them. How would you take a look? I mean, it's difficult to handicap as the season goes on, but let's say that this Arkansas team does not make it to the NCAA tournament and do go to the NIT. Is that still something that Razorback fans can be encouraged about moving forward? Because it feels to me like it's an impatient fan base right now.
Yeah, and I think when he got there, the expectations were that they'd already have gone to, you know, at least to two or three tournaments, and I've even been surprised that he hasn't had a little more success, because he had it going pretty well at Missouri. You know, they were never great, but they were always pretty good. They were always good enough to get to the tournament. So, you know, this year losing BJ Young hurt, but I feel like he was. Sorry, you got my dog coming on the air.
Sounds like a cute one. Was that a Pomeranian?
she's just a mutt. Just a pup. So she doesn't know when to be quiet. You know, losing BJ Young might be maybe a good thing, because I don't know that he was always played the smartest ball, and he's got a good freshman class in there. And I think if they're close to the tournament, I think that would be progress just because of how young they are. But yeah, I can understand Arkansas fans getting impatient, because you guys got a great history, and he had some success beforehand, and it's been a surprise he hasn't been able to get it going a little faster than he has.
It seems like the key to the season for Arkansas is going to be the same thing as it was last year. Are they going to be able to shoot the ball well enough to beat people? They played pretty salty defense at times. I mean, they played Michigan off their feet in Ann Arbor. They almost beat Syracuse. Those are two Final Four teams last year. They just couldn't shoot the ball well enough to get over the hump. And you talked about Anderson's teams at Missouri. One of the things they did pretty well was shoot the three. And one of the things that Arkansas has not done since he's arrived is shoot the three. And, you know, that's going to be the thing. I saw in the paper the other day, they're looking at shooting guards. I'm like, well, you know, 3 years in, they should be. They haven't had enough people that could fill it up from the outside. That's going to be the thing to me that's going to be the telling tale about what kind of success they have this year.
Yeah, it would have been nice to keep Rodney Clark around right after he got there, I'm sure.
Yeah, he could. That's the one thing he could do, wasn't it?
Yeah, man.
CJ, I want to finish on foul shots, because right now there are 12 teams that are averaging 40 or more. I heard there were already about, what, 9 or 10 games where a team has had 50 or more free throws. And we know that the games are going to be called much closer this year, and maybe that's a good thing. This is to be expected, but are these next 2 years going to be a little bit difficult to watch as a basketball fan with all the stoppages?
I think it's still too early to say, because I think not only do the players and coaches have to adjust, but I think the officials have to adjust. And, you know, I liked seeing the changes for what they're doing on the perimeter, just because I think that is an area where there was too much, you know, controlling ball handlers with your hands, and there was too much of that. But what I've been frustrated to see early on is it's almost like they don't reward verticality when you get in the paint. If a guy goes up and there's just any kind of contact, it's they're being called a foul, and you know, that's just, if you know basketball, it's just some of those aren't a foul. So I think the officials kind of have to chill out a little bit on it, and I think they'll adjust as the season goes on. So I think it's too early to say, but it's definitely been frustrating to watch some of these games when there's just no flow whatsoever because of all the whistles.
You know, CJ, and I think there are some coaches, one that I work with closely here in Little Rock, is frustrated that the gray area has been taken away from the officials to decide who gets an advantage when there's contact, because any sort of contact, mm-hmm. when that first hand check comes out, that's a foul immediately. So these officials basically are now officiating the game in black and white instead of a gray area, which is really what they've been doing for decades and decades. So that's one thing that he's frustrated with, and I have a feeling the coaches are going to be frustrated with that as the season goes on.
Yeah, it's always been, you know, sometimes you just call it when the defense is gaining an advantage by how they're hitting the guy. So that's been frustrating, but I do think they might come back a little bit. I think they're trying to almost set a precedent here early on, and we'll see. But the one concern I have about them adjusting during the season is how all the officials are governed by just the conferences, not the NCAA as a whole. So how do you get each conference to be on the same page as the season goes on and say, hey, we got to adjust a little bit? It might be you have to wait a whole season before they kind of come back a little bit.
Well, unfortunately, CJ, there aren't that many exciting-looking games on the docket for tonight. Taking a look at what we've got on Saturday, though, you've got a matchup of a couple of top 20 teams. Marquette and Ohio State are playing, and over the weekend, I know that that'll be something exciting as the season goes on, some great matchups. And we appreciate you joining us here on The Zone. CJ can be read at BleacherReport.com, where he is the lead college basketball writer. And we enjoyed the conversation, CJ. Hope to have you on again.
Thanks, fellas. I enjoyed it.
Thanks, man.